Meta has reported a 19% increase in annual net profit, and this was fueled by a strong contribution from its overseas acquisitions, particularly in Turkey, where Metlu Akü managed to outperform the Turkish lira currency weakness. CEO Theo Luk joins us in studio now with greater perspective on the company's full year performance. Thanks so much, Theo, for joining us today. So your offshore operations working to your favor, offsetting some of the local pressure. Just how much pressure are you facing locally, though? And I ask the question because your automotive components business in South Africa has in fact played a supportive role to the business with good volume throughput coming through. And one wonders if it's been a case of all bad locally at all.
No, not at all. Local performance was great. You know, our industry, especially the automotive industry, has got great policy industry clarity with our South African Automotive Master Plan that was launched by government. Minister Rob Davies, who's the custodian of the business in the industry, has also launched the APDP program, the renewal program that takes us from 2020 to 2035. That's brought a lot of positive traction from our customers to invest more in the South African market. And then we've had record number of vehicle exports out of South African markets. So we're in the manufacturing side of the business. So the local declined vehicle sales didn't affect us as the exports grow, and then fantastic performance from the overseas businesses.
Absolutely.
So we had a balanced performance. Our energy vertical was up 17% and the automotive components vertical up 16%. And with those sort of numbers, there's nothing negative, you know, in the local market.
It's one thing, though, seeing supply on the increase. It's got to be catering to some kind of demand. So give us a better sense of the demand scenario you're catering to right now.
Yeah, I think in we've got a split the two verticals. Automotive components, you know, is mostly driven on a lot of localization opportunity. So we've deepened our customer base in South Africa, and the government focus in increased localization and job creation within that industry has helped us to leverage some opportunities in the local market to bring more products to the market, to have more customers to the market. But our major customers also had a big increase, 16% increase in the volumes that they exported from South Africa. That's based on new vehicles that's been launched in South Africa, and they're enjoying quite a bit of traction. I think we could be a possible winner, for instance, in Brexit. If you look at the automotive industry export report, between 20 to 25% of our vehicles is already going to the UK. We've got our trade agreements that's in place. You know, we've got the Algoa Act with America. So South Africa could possibly be a winner in these international trade wars and barriers that's been going up at the moment.
In our conversation to this point, Theo, you've been very emphatic about government policy and how supportive that is of growing this industry in the current low growth environment. Just how much of a change has there been in relations or communications with government, the DTI specifically under the new administration? Or is this a mere continuation of the work that was being done and the kind of planning that was being put in place in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's over a 10-year period. So it's not something that has changed. We've had lots of ministerial stability. Minister Rob Davies has been in that position for the last 10 years that we've been, dealing with government policy and formulation. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, black economic empowerment is a major drive behind that policy. We've achieved a level 3, a contributor level. Some one of our companies achieved a level 1. And that big focus on job creation, what local content we can provide, how can we grow the industry, how to become 1% of the world market, has been a very, very big drive. And the reason it is, jobs in the automotive industry is attractive because they come with high qualifications, you know, engineering skills. And that manufacturing environment is probably one of the only environments where you can advance from the shop floor to the managing director of the business, because you get that on-job practical understanding of manufacturing, and that's very important.
Yeah, you talk about this. We've seen manufacturing data filter through today and not painting a pretty picture of where the industry is at this stage. On your side, to what extent do some of those pressures that are being exerted broad-based across industry come to bear on you? And front of mind are cost pressures that are significantly on the rise.
Yeah, you know, we're always sensitive to cost pressures. You know, our industry is built on quality, cost and supply. and you got to perform in all of them. The weakening of the rand obviously helped us from a competitive position. We also had in Turkey, the margin expansion that we had in Turkey also comes from the weakening of the Turkish lira currency. So it does help us. So we have assistance in competitiveness positions with the weakening of emerging market currencies. And the pressures that we have are the one to deliver quality and cost in a labor stable environment to our customers. And then they run the markets and the expansion of the markets with the products that they launch. So a lot of our success depends on our customers' successful launch of their models in their markets.
Mm-hmm. I want to quickly look at your offshore bets, which are paying off nicely because it stands as a major contributor to net profit 19% higher, where a lot of companies have not managed to get geographic diversification to work for them. What do you put your success down to? Is it just a matter of getting lucky with the assets you targeted? Because Romania and Turkey, not necessarily the easiest territories to operate in.
Yeah, I think very important is what's behind the strategy. Our strategy has always been customer, market, and technology focus. So we're not in the market because we just want to go to the markets. Our customer actually asks us to go there and transfer technology there. Mm-hmm. And then in country is the quality of asset that you can find. Like in Turkey, we found the best operator who's got the biggest market share, who's got a fantastic management team, that's got the building blocks on technology, and we've learned this from the Japanese. You know, the Japanese over 30 years has transformed their businesses into international big corporations, and they've got a specific blueprint and how they do it when we follow that blueprint. And it's commonality on machines, commonality on design, commonality on raw material supply, commonality in manufacturing systems. And if you build your business around that, you've got protection. And then what's fortunate for it, we're in a non-discretionary product. Nobody's going to push start their car. They need to buy a battery. And that helps to hedge you in a declining environment.
Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Theo, for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, CEO of Metair, Theo Luca.